The Gospel according to John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken, the gospel of the Lord. One of the most terrifying things for any preacher is the obvious. And today, our readings give us the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to speak to you for 15 minutes on why you shouldn't kill each other. It's like, you know, like what new can I possibly say about the Ten Commandments? And I suppose the answer is not much, but as so often happens with the Word of God, when you spend a little bit of time in its presence, it shows you things. And I suppose even the Ten Commandments are no exception. I was reminded of a book that I read a while back called Founding Brothers. It was about the remarkable men who there at the beginning of our country helped shape it into the nation that we have now. It's easy to forget just how tenuous our existence was, because we are a country that defined itself on the idea of freedom. We felt oppressed by the regulations, by the rules, by the laws that Britain had put in place to keep us in line, and we rebelled against those. And we end up fighting a war that we called the War for American Independence, and which the British called the American Rebellion. But we won that war, and we won our freedom. But then, what did we do? In the midst of that freedom, we came very close to destroying ourselves. We could not decide on how we would live together as this confederation of colonies. And after some rather dicey years, we came up with this thing called the Constitution. We came up with a series of rules and regulations and guidelines and boundaries that we felt we could live with and that have served to define us as a country ever since. And the interesting thing to me is that for a nation that defined itself by its freedom, freedom did not mean being free of regulations. Because the minute we were we had to get to work and make some new ones. Likewise, the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt. They were in captivity. And God sent Moses to come and lead them out of captivity into freedom across the Red Sea. But there again, the minute the people became free, they were terrified. And indeed, all they could do was complain and talk about going back to Egypt. And so Moses led them to the base of Mount Sinai, where God gave them a constitution. God gave them the Ten Commandments, a set of rules, a set of boundaries, a set of guidelines that would define them as a people. Now, here, in just a little aside, I want to say, in a wonderful example of Martin Luther pointing out that the Word of God should always be interpreted in community because it is a communal act, not an individual act. Yesterday, when I was preaching, one of the young girls raised her hand in the middle of my sermon. And I said, "What?" She said, "You said Adam. You meant Moses, but you said Adam." "You're right, I did. Thank you." And if anyone else catches me up on something I'm saying wrong, please raise your hand. The Ten Commandments are not a series of rules, of individual rules and regulations to rule the life of the individual. They are all communal guidelines. They are all about how to live together. Lying doesn't have much of a consequence if we're just sitting in a room by ourselves. Lying only has consequences in community. Killing someone is awful hard to do if you're sitting there by yourself. But in a community, it has dire consequences. And even the first part of the commandments, where it speaks about keeping the Sabbath and having only one God and not taking the Lord's name in vain, even those are rules about how to live in community with God. The commandments are all about living together and how we do that. Because that is how God works throughout the history of his interaction with humankind. It's all about God creating a community of, I'm not sure believers is quite the right note, but for example, when he takes the people to the base of Mount Sinai, when he gives them the Ten Commandments, God says, "It is so that you might be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." The commandments are given to them so that they might live out the way that God intends for all of creation, so that they might model a healthy way of being that would then attract the people around them. God felt that if he could just show people what it was like to live in the kingdom of God, that people would want to be part of that. People would want to know that sense of peace and justice and health and wholeness. Of course, it doesn't quite work out that way. We know that once the people became a nation, everything started falling apart. And you can see the symptoms in that falling apart, in that they stop living as a community. You see the fractures start to develop when the nation itself shatters apart. You see the individual, the fractures in between individuals, and you hear the prophets continually calling the people back to that sense of community, reminding them that it's not enough to just take care of yourself. We have to take care of each other, especially the most vulnerable among us. We need to remember those widows. We need to remember those orphans. We need to remember those foreigners. We need to remember those travelers, all of those people who are most vulnerable and need to be part of the community. But as they are forgotten, as they are ignored, the kingdom of Israel breaks down and eventually disintegrates. When Jesus calls his disciples, he calls together a group of disciples, not an individual. When he sends them out to become the church after his resurrection, he sends them out together with the instructions to love one another and to feed one another. It's easy within community to sometimes let our sense of personal freedom blind us to the bonds that exist between us. But we cannot escape them. In some ways, it's a false duology to think of captivity versus freedom. The fact is, we can never be free. We are always in connection to God and with each other. The question is simply, how will we live with each other? Will we live in a way that is destructive? Or will we live in a way that is healthy? Will we live in a way that causes us to climb on the backs of others? Or will we live in a way that all people live together in God's kingdom? The Ten Commandments remain for us a snapshot of what healthy living looks like. And I keep using the word healthy because I think that's the best description. It shows us how we were created to live. We were not created to kill each other. We were not created to lie to each other. We were not created to covet what each other has. Rather, we are created to help each other, to encourage each other, to take care of each other. And the freedom that we enjoy is not the freedom to be and do, to be by ourselves and do whatever we want. The freedom that we enjoy is a communal freedom to enjoy the best life possible. The abundant life that God promises to those who follow him. And so there is a reason for gathering together in community to worship God and to be in service to each other. I know I hear lots of people say that, you know, I consider myself a religious person, but I don't go to church. I can pray, I can worship God while I'm out fishing or while I'm out hiking or doing whatever. And that's true, yes, you can. But what you can't do is be the community of God when you are there. When we come together to worship and to serve, we, for all of our faults and for all of our shortcomings, are trying to be that community. We remind ourselves of the need to take care of each other. We remind ourselves not to forget each other in times of need. We remind each other that we are fragile and vulnerable by ourselves. And therefore, we need to take care of others who might feel by themselves. It's not an easy task. It's not an easy way to be. But it's a good way to be. It's a holy way to be. And it is what God has given us to be a priestly nation and a holy people. Amen.